For the second evening in a row, we were treated to a classic Champions League night. 10 goals on Tuesday, 8 more on Wednesday as the quarter-final first legs were completed. After 5 years away from the last eight, Barcelona edged a thriller against Paris Saint-Germain. Atletico were narrow winners against Dortmund's in Madrid. We'll review it all and we'll look forward to the second legs, which are only days away. Welcome to the official UEFA Champions League podcast with me, Chris Parrott. Delighted to have the European football expert Alvaro Romeo to look back on another breathless evening. One brilliant stat, I think, which stands out. The most goals this week, as I mentioned, 18 of them across the four Champions League quarterfinals first leg since 2011, when there were also 18. Weeks like this, nights like this don't come around too often, but boy, they are enjoyable when they do. Your immediate reaction to two fabulous first legs?
I haven't stopped smiling
for
the last 27, 28 hours. Really, it's been beautiful. It's been fantastic. And, you know, I thought that Tuesday couldn't be, you know, improved, surpassed. But what we have seen tonight is very special too, with Barcelona just having a terrific performance in Paris. I think Paris was very good as well. And what we watched in Madrid was very interesting too, because the game looked like Atletico had it in their hand and Dortmund scored that goal. And everything is up for grabs for the second leg. It's been a terrific night of football.
It certainly has. And you'd be hard pushed to know who's going to make it through to the semi-finals in this season's competition. Well, Alvaro was commentating on the first leg of Paris against Barcelona with Richard Kaufman. Of course, this tie has a habit of serving up the drama in the Champions League and entertainment over the years, and 2024 was no different.
Lewandowski out to the right-hand side to Lamine, tries to return the compliment, goalkeeper spilled it, it's a chance for Barcelona, and Rafinha scores! Puts his hands out and waves to the crowd, who are in the majority not happy. Donnarumma could only palm it out straight to the Brazilian.
First goal in the Champions League this season for Rafinha. We have to say that Barcelona did very well again.
Breaks to Dembélé, shakes one way, goes the other, left footed, right into the back of the net. Ousmane Dembélé against his old team has equalised in this UEFA Champions League quarter-final. Ruiz, it's a lovely ball, Vitinha, they've scored again! Two goals in a minute! Paris Saint-Germain 2, Barcelona 1. Chipped over the top by João Félix, chance here, and it's a goal back for Barcelona! What a brilliant finish that is from Rafinha, and just like that, it's 2-2!
Beautiful, silky, dangerous ball for Rafinha, and the Brazilian did the rest. It wasn't easy to hit the ball like this, and what a ball from Pedri, by the way. He's a little magician.
Going to be Gundogan to take this, right-footed, in swinger, and it's in! And it's Andreas Christensen with his very first touch, who has just put Barcelona ahead from a set piece. 1-0 up, 2-1 down. They're now 3-2 up in this topsy-turvy UEFA Champions League quarter-final.
What a game we're watching. Comeback after comeback. It is Barcelona's turn, and they have scored this goal that can be crucial in the tie.
Richard was desperate to come in already before I'd even introduced you, because you too have such a huge smile on your face after that game. I mean,
I was just going to make some stupid comment. That was off the back of what I'm saying. Not relevant anymore. I just, you know, what a shame we can't do it again tomorrow. And I know we got the UEFA Europa League action to look forward to, but these Champions League matches have been fabulous. You know, you can't help but go, oh my goodness, and smiling, and how do they do that, and what a tackle, what a shot, what a goal, what a save. You know, the refereeing, you know, tonight in this game, I thought was superb. I mean, the players, no one had a bad game. You know, it sounds like I'm sort of sounding like an advertisement, if you like, for the UEFA Champions League. But I genuinely mean it. It was such a joy to commentate on a game like that. We had two teams here that we know like to play possession football, like to play offensive football, and you wondered whether that might, those similarities might cancel each other out. How can they both have possession? I think possession was almost even for them. There were, what, 33 shots in the game. Five goals. It turned one way and then the other. I mean, it's everything you want. And off the back of last night, I thought, well, we're bound to have a 0-0 tonight. But no, we got more of the same.
Right from the start, from pre-kickoff, we had this wonderful atmospheric, almost theatre production with kind of moody music. The lights were dimmed, an amazing tifo. It had a feeling that something might happen. Doesn't always then, of course, equate to a brilliant game, but it was ultimately, after a great start from Paris, it was Barcelona who got the opener when Rafinha scored. And you said at halftime you felt it was one of Barcelona's best Champions League performances at that point.
Yeah, but then the second half started and Paris scored two goals, and it was like two punches in the jaw. And Barcelona didn't crumble. I think that this is the most remarkable thing, because we have seen Barcelona over the last years losing control, and to the point that they were at the mercy of the opponent. It wasn't the case today. They conceded two goals, and then they managed to stay in the game. Of course, they suffered a little bit, but Xavi made the right substitutions too. I think that Pedri's addition has been very important, Christensen's as well. And maybe that's the thing that I will underline the most, the fact that Barcelona had a lot of character in a difficult game, because Paris wasn't bad. Danger can come from any angle when you play against Paris, from Barcola, from Mbappé, from Dembélé, from Gonzalo Ramos at the end, you know. And I would say Barcelona has kept them at bay, especially Koundé has been, for me, one of those standout footballers, because at the beginning of the game I thought, this guy is going to suffer with Kylian Mbappé, because we have seen Kylian Mbappé this Champions League giving a torrid time to anyone. And Jules Koundé has kept himself together, and he's one of the real winners of this game.
Yeah, it's not his preferred position, is it, playing in that right-back role? I think it's worth remembering here, try to give it some perspective. November the 7th was the last time Paris Saint-Germain lost a football match in the UEFA Champions League against AC Milan. 27 matches without defeat. Barcelona have just come to the Parc des Princes and won. And we saw, I mean, we can talk about the Paris players because there were some fabulous performances from them, but focusing on Barcelona, you know, Pau Cabassi, I thought, was excellent at the back. Lamine Yamal, you know, the two teenagers there. And then you talk about, you know, what the coach has done. You know, a young coach, really, in Xabi. And he's made the changes when they've been required. And, I mean, they have come up trumps big time. Because at 2-1, when they scored those two goals in a minute, Paris Saint-Germain, and they were flooding forward, I thought a third was coming imminently.
Yeah.
And I thought that could maybe start getting the game beyond Barcelona. At that point, I mean, Xavi would have taken 2-2, never mind what they've got right now, which is a 3-2 lead to take into the second leg.
And that mental strength and character in those key moments in the game, you might expect it from someone like Robert Lewandowski, who's won it and scored 90-plus goals. But for teenagers to be able to do that amid a really excellent top atmosphere. I mean, we're talking about, we know their quality, but to have that kind of personality at this tender age is pretty remarkable.
And I will say that Pedri is not as young as Lamine or Cubarsí, but Pedri was born in 2002, so he's still 21 years old. A youngster, Fermín, came on in the second half to play 10-15 minutes. He was up to the challenge. And Rafinha is not that young anymore, but he doesn't have a lot of Champions League experience too, and he has scored the brace.
What do we make of the fact that both Sergi Roberto and Andreas Christensen are both going to be suspended for that second leg?
Well, I think that Pedri, Frenkie de Jong and Gundogan will have to play together. Maybe against the will of Xavi, because maybe Pedri is not ready for 90 minutes. And this opens the doors to Oriol Romeu as well, a nominal holding midfielder who has been on the bench today, but he could have a chance too. But yeah,
because Christensen, we saw him come on, and I know he wasn't 100% fit, otherwise I think he may have started tonight. Yeah. they conceded twice tonight. They'd only conceded once in the previous six matches. And Christensen had played a big role moving from the centre of defence to the centre of midfield
to stop
that. I think that's quite a blow for them, really. But they do have a 3-2 lead to take into the second leg.
No, absolutely. But it's not about the quality of the players, because we know that Gundogan, Pedri and Frenkie have a lot of quality. By the way, Frenkie played a really good game, considering that he's back from an injury. But sometimes you need a certain profile of player, and Christensen has given that extra. I agree with you. And he won't be there playing the second leg. I think that Xavi may use at some point Oriol Romeu, as I said before. But at least Xavi has options, because if he wants energy in midfield, he can also use Fermin. Fermin is not a robust presence in midfield, but he's got all the energy just to do the blocks, the tackles. Today Barcelona has been really good at it, with some heroics from Araujo. And I believe that Pedri, they had done terrific blocks on the edge of the box and inside the box. A shot from Barcola was going in, yes or yes. And I think Barcelona may have to resort to that. But what I like about Barcelona today is that, again, they didn't crumble. These players have a memory. Mm-hmm. And they know that in the last 5-6 years, they have lost at Anfield. You know, they have 10-15 bad minutes at Anfield and they conceded 2 goals. Against Bayern, we know what happened. We know what happened against Paris 2.5 years ago when they lost 4-1 at Barcelona. Tonight, something similar could have happened. The same script could have been written. And after conceding 2, Barcelona kept themselves together. This is the most important thing for me.
5 years since they last reached a semi-final, which was that trip to Liverpool. Of course, Camp Nou is being renovated. If we briefly look ahead in a Barcelona perspective, we'll get on to Paris in a moment. But the atmosphere that they have managed to generate at Estadio Olympic US Companhias, particularly in the last round against Napoli, I mean, it was deafening. So how have they managed to make that their home from home, and how important is it to try and see this one through, that it is a tough place to go and play for Paris Saint-Germain?
I think that the atmosphere has been slightly flat in La Liga, but in the Champions League it's been really good at Barcelona's home ground. And I think that yes, Barcelona at home in the Champions League has been competitive this season. So the home factor is going to be important. They beat Napoli playing really well at home and the support was there. But on the other hand, they are playing against Paris and I think that these players don't feel the fear anyway. So of course the home factor is important. It's more important to take a result of 3-2 to your home ground. But you know, I think that everything is still to be decided, and Barcelona will be glad to play in front of 50,000 people, that's for sure.
Andreas Christensen, by the way, Richard, I know you're a fan of his birthday goal. Just the fifth player to score a Champions League knockout stage goal on his own birthday. Angel Di Maria did it, Edinson Cavani did it, Simone Inzaghi did it, and Juan Schneider did it as well. From a Paris perspective, they started with Marco Asensio in kind of this false nine. They made a change. Luis Enrique made a change at the break, and I mean, for 10-15 minutes, they were electric when they scored their 2 goals, Richard.
Yeah, they did. I thought the change, you know, we credit Xavi for his changes. Same for Luis Enrique as well, because, yeah, Barcola came in and made a real impression on the game down the right-hand side. Mbappe, he didn't have a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. He threatened all the time, but superbly defended by Barcelona. We touched on that already. But, you know, they had so many players that played nicely. I mean, for me, I know Rafinha, because he got the 2 goals, got the Man of the Match award. But personally, I thought Vitinha was a standout player. He was combative in the middle, creative when he was on the ball. You know, he looks to make things happen. I thought Fabian Ruiz had a good game. You know, Nuno Mendes was another of their standout players as well. So you can't, you know, Paris can't look at it. So I'm sure they won't. I'm sure this is the message that'll be in the changing room: is we've played really well. We could have easily won that as much as we've lost that tonight. Same story potentially in 6 days' time. We can go there and win. We can still make the semi-finals.
And I wouldn't discard Paris playing with the three-man center backline against Barcelona, because today when they conceded the first goal and they went to the halftime trailing 1-0, when they came to play the second half, Luis Enrique changed the system. So when Luis Enrique needs to trigger something, a remontada, plays with three defenders. So it looks like this by the looks of what we have seen today. So that's a possibility too.
You've mentioned that word, of course. There was a certain second leg in Barcelona between these two clubs in 2017 when Luis Enrique was the coach of Barca, and now Paris boss. He will most certainly be looking forward to that return. You can hear the second leg next Tuesday on Champions League Match Day Live on UEFA.com and on the Champions League app and across North America on Sirius XM FC. It was a brilliant game, as we've just discussed, at the Parc des Princes. There was another corker as well in Madrid, and still to come, we will look back at that first leg between Atletico and Borussia Dortmund.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So at the Metropolitano, two clubs more than familiar to this stage of the competition, and it would be Atleti who made the fast start, as John Bradley describes.
Oh, now and then there's an interception, and the ball is fired into the back of the net. It's Antoine Griezmann who moves the ball on. They win the ball high, and Rodrigo De Paul steps into the penalty area and slams it beyond the goalkeeper, Gregor Kobel. Atletico Madrid 1, Borussia Dortmund 0. Oh, nicely done by Morata. They've won the ball again. Griezmann, Lino, goal! Oh, it's wonderfully done. Another classic counter-attack from Atletico. It's Griezmann with a free kick on the left-hand side. Swings it in now. All the way across goal. And Samuel Lino is denied by a quite outstanding stop by the goalkeeper. That's Emre Can. On to Julian Brandt. Looking for Sebastian Haller. He scored. It's an instinctive turn and strike from Sebastian Haller. And Borussia Dortmund breathe again in this tie. They have plugged away in this second half, and they have got that vital goal back. They just trail by one. Atletico Madrid 2, Borussia Dortmund 1. Here's Hummels now, up to the corner of the penalty area. Julian Ryerson with the cross. It's Brandt with the header. He's hit the stanchion, the corner of the frame of the goal. And he puts his hands on his head and he looks to the stars above the Metropolitano. So, so close. It's the last touch of the game, is it? As the Atletico players sink to their knees, they survive the most dramatic final moment of the game.
John joins myself, Chris, and Alvaro now. My word, they were close to 2-2, John. I mean, it literally was the last touch. I mean, that was some comeback, because for the first 45 minutes anyway, Dortmund could easily have been blown away and might have been more than 2-0 down.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, because if they do come back in and get something from this tie, Chris, they'll be certainly indebted to their goalkeeper, Gregor Kobel, because he made some outstanding saves. We just heard the one there from Samuel Lino, which came just moments before Sebastian Haller popped up with that goal to halve the deficit in the tie. In truth, they'll be angry at themselves. They'll feel that they gifted Atletico two goals, both the result of defensive errors, the first by Mattsson, the second by the normally reliable pair of Schlotterbeck and Hummels, who just basically got in each other's way, and Morata was able to release Antoine Griezmann, whose lovely little pass relieved Samuel Lino, who rolled it into the bottom corner. But they changed things. They brought on Julian Brandt at half-time. That had an immediate impact. They were able to get the ball a little higher up the field. Just before half-time, they started to get back into the game, and they had the better of the second half. They started to turn possession into final third possession and into chances. And whilst
the way that the ball came to Sebastian Haller had a little bit of fortune about it via a deflection off Nahuel Molina. There was nothing lucky at all about the finish. It was instinctive and just a pure goal scorer's effort from Sebastian Haller, who'd just come on as a substitute and added a lot when he came on. And of course, right at the end, well, we'd already seen Jamie Bynoe-Gittins at the crossbar as well with a fierce strike from the edge of the penalty area. And then, of course, hit the frame of the goal, the angle of bar and post with the last touch of the game. They could be going back with a 2-2, and Edin Terzic will take that, because there were lots of chances for Atletico throughout the course of the game, and Corbell, yeah, absolutely outstanding.
Well, you mentioned Sebastian Haller, and we can hear from him now. He says he was determined to have a big impact when he came on for the final 30 minutes.
Really important. Yeah. Honestly, when I came in, it was 2-0. I just knew that just one goal was, much important for the hope, and everything can happen now at home. I think we get confidence during the game, because I think we just learn about our mistakes, but also because I think Atletico dropped intensity as well. So, a lot of things can explain that, and we use by the best way, but okay, we can be, if you see all the action, maybe it's quite deserved, because they could score also some goals because of our mistakes, and we had a great chance at the end with Julian Brandt, so this is the game.
Very much in the tie, Borussia Dortmund. You can hear from the confidence, really, of Sebastian Haller there, that that goal back may yet be crucial. From an Atleti perspective, Alvaro, and you cover Spanish football week in, week out, that they were exceptional for 60, 70 minutes. And I'd like to speak to about Samuel Lino, who is going to miss the second leg because he picked up a yellow card. But just how impressive has he been, not just in the first leg, but all season for Atleti?
Well, Samuel Lino has been phenomenal, because he is performing very well a role that was a trademark role of Yannick Carrasco at Atletico de Madrid, playing over there on the left with two different tasks, one defending very well and the other one providing as much as he can in attack. And Diego Simeone has found a player to play in that position, because it's clear that on the right is Nahuel Molina, that footballer. But at the beginning of the season, it was unclear whether it was going to be Samuel Lino or Rodrigo Riquelme, the player who was going to play there on the left. And at the end, Samuel Lino has done so well that he has earned that position. He's robust, he's strong, he can score goals. He proved last season at Valencia on loan that he was a very valid player for that position. He can be a winger as well, but he won't be ready for the second leg. And Rodrigo Riquelme will be there. I believe that he will start. He was the player of the match against Feyenoord in the group stage at Rotterdam, and he knows what the Champions League is about too. It's a big, obviously, absence for Atletico not having Samuel Lino, but on the other hand, they have won this game, and I think that they'll leave the Metropolitano with a smile, really, because the first 60 minutes were really good.
They've been amazing at home this season, in all competitions, John, particularly in the Champions League. They have this slender lead. Diego Simeone was classic him tonight, right, kicking every ball on the touchline. Do you think they'll be able to produce that kind of intensity of performance away from home now at Borussia Dortmund?
Well, it's the million euro question, isn't it? Because their away form hasn't been the same as their home form throughout the course of the campaign, and they've certainly been reliant on the home form for the points in La Liga, and of course the progress in the last round. For 60, 70 minutes, they were great. Did they run out of legs a little bit? Maybe. They certainly, I think, missed the calming influence and also the composure of Mario Hermoso tonight, and they missed being able to bring Memphis Depay from the bench, but he won't be involved next week either. So yes, what they'll have to do is certainly get together this week and find a way to sort their away form out and to go to Dortmund next week, because once that yellow wall gets going and the noise behind them of having just celebrated that anniversary of the stadium, there'll be a raucous noise in there, and they'll be as fiercely behind their team as the Atleti fans were in this game tonight. But yes, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to be tough. What Dortmund have got to do is play with more belief and more intensity in that first half than they showed tonight, because they could have been done and dusted by half time, in truth.
The thing is that this weekend Atletico plays a very important game against Girona. Girona are third on the table, Atletico are fourth. But I would like to focus on something that Nelson Vivas, Diego Simeone's assistant coach, said before the game against Dortmund today. He said that they had to neutralize the speed of Dortmund. Has it been very obvious, John, that Dortmund had more legs than Atletico de Madrid tonight?
I mean, Atleti had the legs for 60, 70 minutes. I think when you saw Bino Gittins come on, that they struggled to deal with him. They were moving players around. In the end, Marcos Llorente, I think he played four or five positions in the night. He ended up as a right wing back in a back five, and they brought on Rodrigo Riquelme as well. In truth, Jadon Sancho wasn't really influential in the game, and Adeyemi wasn't able to get in the game at all. It was in the second half. It was through Brandt they tended to play, and they almost tried to barrel the way through the middle, and the wide players weren't really able to get as involved as they normally do in the pace of them, and full Krug didn't have much joy as well. Sebastian Haller certainly added something when he came on, and that's something that they will focus on next week. Certainly, without a shadow of doubt, Simeone tried to neutralise those quick players in the game, and they'll feel that they did the job pretty well.
And one man who was key to it was Cesar Azpilicueta.
Has been a great game. We have started really well. We have scored the first goal, then 2-0 up, and maybe we could have scored the third. We were not able to finish then. Dortmund got the goal back, and maybe at the end we suffered a little bit. We have played some good football and good defending as well, because Dortmund, they have very dangerous players up front, with very dynamic, they are very quick. So we expected a tough game, and now we are half-time, and then Tuesday in Dortmund.
Yeah, only 6 days away, and we can't wait already. Next week is absolutely huge in the Champions League, and you won't miss a thing on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live on UEFA.com, the Champions League app, where we have commentary on both nights and the goals as they go in from all four matches. Jack Winstanley reports.
After Paris, Barcelona, Atletico and Dortmund finish their quarterfinals next Tuesday, attention turns to the final two semi-final spots. If the first legs of the ties involving Real Madrid, Manchester City, Arsenal and Bayern are anything to go by, then we are in for a treat a week tonight.
It's gone beyond Ortega and in! Rodrigo has scored for Real Madrid! Saka shoots! What a finish! Arsenal star boy!
Just rolled in beyond Raya. He dummied the goalkeeper and then pushed the ball into the opposite corner.
Defending champions Manchester City are back at home next week. Record winners Real Madrid played out a six-goal thriller with Pep Guardiola's team at the Bernabeu.
Vinicius Junior picks it up and plays it across. Oh! How about that for a leveller? That is a stunner from Valverde.
Guardiola and his opposite number Carlo Ancelotti know all about winning in this competition. Both are confident they can make it through.
We'll have to win the game. We'll not be like season, but our people is there. We'll be sold out. We need all of them, the energy, during 95 minutes to try to beat the king of this competition. With our people in Manchester, we'll go for it.
Of course, it will be a fantastic game. A lot of quality, two fantastic teams. We have the game in Manchester. I think from our side, we are satisfied for what we did, and we hope to repeat in the same way in Manchester.
Kickoff next Wednesday is at 2100 CEST, and at the same time, we will see the conclusion of another fascinating tie.
Here's Jesus inside the area, great twisting, turning, Trossard rolls it into the bottom corner. It's 2-2.
Bayern's draw in London saw them fall behind, lead, and then concede to that Leandro Trossard strike. Mikel Arteta and Thomas Tuchel both took positives from the first leg.
The things that we control are all simple things. Do them better and especially have a big belief that we can go there and win the game.
We have a second leg to play, and we hope we can create the same atmosphere, play this with the same intensity and passion.
So a wonderful night is in store in 7 days' time in Munich and Manchester. Matchday Live will be on air from 2000 CEST. It should be a cracker.
It should, and I love the fact when it gets to the quarterfinals and the semi-finals, it's back-to-back weeks. There is no rest. Any duels that have happened between certain players, that there's no time to forget about them, and you tend to get brilliant second legs. I want everybody in on this, and I want nobody sitting on the fence, okay? Richard, Barcelona, Paris.
Yeah.
Who's going through to the semi-finals?
Yeah, just when we do all these predictions, I'm not sitting on the fence. But, I mean, it's ridiculous in a way, because I could name you, if you want me to name all four semi-finalists, I could easily name another four.
No, I just want Barcelona-Paris.
Barcelona-Paris, I think Barcelona will finish the job. I don't say that with great conviction, but I'll pick Barcelona.
Yeah, that's a hard one. John Bradley, Dortmund against Atletico.
Fence. No.
They're not playing.
I'll tell you the four semi-finalists now. Dortmund, Arsenal, Manchester City, Barcelona.
Wow, he's gone big there. Alvaro, you get Wednesday's ties, next Wednesday's ties. City or Madrid, Bayern or Arsenal?
Manchester City and Bayern will be in the semi-finals.
It's going to be an absolute cracker, isn't it? I mean, Richard, just final word from you, actually. 18 goals over four games. I mean, quarterfinals have really delivered so far.
They really have. And the fact that, you know, trying to predict who's going to make the semi-finals, anything could happen. Anything did happen over those first four games. Can't wait for the next lot.
Absolutely. And make sure you join us on UEFA Match Day Live from 8 p.m. CEST next Tuesday and Wednesday for the conclusion of the quarterfinals. Barcelona and Atleti have slender leads on the Tuesday. It's level between Real Madrid and Manchester City, and Arsenal and Bayern. But what a set of first legs it has been. The Champions League has enjoyed a brilliant week. From me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it is goodbye for now. But the good thing is, the second legs are already almost upon us.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.